Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, and we were talking about as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life. But then it says, and godliness. And we hadn't talked about godliness yet, but today we'll start that portion. So if God has given us all things that pertain unto life, we looked at it from the first man that was created, and God breathed the breath of life in him and he became a living soul. We talked about the physical part of our life, that God has given us all things that pertain to our physical life. We read about all things that pertain to our spiritual life and all things that pertain to eternal life. And I know there's a lot more we could have added, but it's sometimes I find that it's easier to, for me personally, to think on those things because it helps me grow and it helps me even appreciate even that much more what the Lord has done for my life since even before I was saved, but I just didn't know it was him. And now I do. So there's so much more that I appreciate. And now that he's given us all things that pertain to godliness, I made the comment last week how I know a lot of people struggle and toil and labor to be something instead of just being. That's not a play on words. It's really the truth. When you come to know some of the things that we're going to share in the next few weeks, and they really get rooted and grounded down on the inside of you, you're going to find that no matter what age you are in the Lord or in years, there's still a lot of room for beautiful new blossoms to grow in your life. Maybe stir up some things you hadn't thought about. Stir up some things that you didn't see before. But these are going to be, I think, very, very important truths to every believer. So if God has given us all things that pertain to godliness, it has to start, there has to be a starting point. And the starting point is that banner on the wall over there. You have to remember when we came into this world, we were born as a descendant of Adam, and we were born in sin. Well, something wonderful happened the day that you got born again. And we talked about that in another context. About that's when not only spiritual life began, but eternal life as well. In Christ, I am a new man or a new creation. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So this is a good scripture to start with, because if we're born in and under the sin of Adam, then when you get saved, when you become born again, the old nature died, the sin nature. We're no longer of the seed of Adam, no longer of Adam's sin. We have nothing more to do with Adam. We follow the last Adam, Jesus Christ. There's the first and the last. There aren't any in between. And there won't be any more after. So when old things have passed away, you know, when you read obituaries and they talk about people they passed away, some comfortably at home and some maybe not so, but the fact is when a person passes away, they die. So if your old nature, the old creation passed away, it gives me a lot of hope that I don't have to pay a whole lot of attention to it anymore. You know, maybe, you know, when we share testimonies together or we talk about when you're talking to someone about how you came to Jesus, which is really important in making sure that we still remember the salvation message for those that maybe aren't saved yet, because it can offer them hope as well. But the new creation is really where all of this starts. In Christ, everything starts new. When I think of godliness, I think of the fact that Jesus' blood made us holy. I think about scriptures that talk about being forgiven. I read scriptures about the blood of Jesus didn't just wash us, but the sins have been removed and God doesn't see them and look upon them anymore because of the new creation and the blood that Jesus shed at Calvary. May take a while to get there. Sometimes I jump ahead and then I say, oh yeah, I read that last week. But godlikeness or godliness is something that we already are in the new man in Christ. So you don't have to think of yourself in the light that... That's why it bothers me when I hear people say, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. Why blaspheme the work of the cross like that? And you keep that getting pounded into your head over and over and over. You're just an old sinner saved by grace. It doesn't do anything. It doesn't even bring to mention the fact of what Jesus Christ died for. And not only that, he didn't stay dead. He was raised to life again on the third day to pay for your pardon, to pay for your deliverance, to pay for your healing, to pay for the sin condition that we were born in. So why would we, it's like Don said, we don't want to keep talking about the cough. It's not mine. And I get into conversations quite often and people my age particularly, that becomes the topic of the conversation. And then this competition. Oh, I had that when I was 43. Wow, you don't want to have what I had. And then somebody else, oh, you think that's bad. You should have seen what I had when I was 49. You know, and then this conversation comes up about all of my stuff, my arthritis. No, it ain't arthritis. Came from hell. And you need to get rid of his brother Burr and Arthur. They are not good friends. They are not. They are not your friends. They are your enemies. They've come to steal, kill, and to destroy the quality of life that Jesus Christ died to give us. You have the new nature of Christ flowing through you from the top of your head to the bottoms of your feet. You're new. The old has passed away. And I do a lot of funerals. But I went to my own. Think on that. So did you. You went to your own funeral. But you know, within minutes, you were raised up to walk in newness of life. No longer are you bound by the old man and all his characteristics. Do a study on the old man and the new man sometime. And it's remarkable, the difference. You are no longer the old man. You're the new man. The new man in Christ. In Christ I am crucified to the world. That doesn't mean the world went away. It just means that I'm dead to it now. I don't have to participate in the world's way of doing things. I'm free. If you're not saved, you're trapped. You're still stuck. You don't have any hope, very little joy. Money buys it all. Money buys you happiness. Things like that. Things of the world. And I like what Paul said. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, this is just a Rick question to you. If all of our sins and sin nature hadn't died and been removed, and you're now the temple of the Holy Spirit, how can you be both? How can you be a temple for the Lord if the blood hasn't done what the Bible says the blood did? Something nice to think about. When I think of when we were looking at some scriptures in the Old Covenant about the Spirit of the Lord would come and abide in the tent or the tabernacle or the temple in the Old Covenant, the New Testament says that you are the temple not made with hands. You've been made by God to be a temple. And the Holy Spirit doesn't come and go. He comes and stays and finds his home in you and lives in you, enables you and empowers you to live this new life in Christ. That's part of godliness. We see the devil always makes sure when we miss it. We fall short of the mark. Boy, has he got some future. I'm telling you. Every time he reminds you of your past, you remind him of his future. And I'll tell you, your future looks much more glorious. In Christ I am dead to sin and alive unto God. This is from Colossians 2:12, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Even when we were dead in trespasses, we've been made alive together with Christ, and by grace you have been saved. Ephesians 2:5. So even we had to be dead before we could live. We have to have died to live. And so we can't put those old titles on a believer's life. They're not true. They're robbing what Christ has done. If that's all we're called, if And I personally know people who have sat under that kind of a fellowship for a long time, and they come away very glum because that's what happens. They're told those things every week. I had to quit watching SAPA TV because I heard that on so many broadcasts. And there's no hope, there's no encouragement as to who you are in Christ now. You've been made holy. You've been made righteous. Those are true things. You're not the old man anymore. He died. We read that already. Lots of scriptures that I could keep going, but if you can't get it out of two, what's 40 more going to do? Shaken down, pressed together, running over. Oh my gosh, this is so big I don't even know where to go with it except one at a time. In Christ I'm more than a conqueror. That's the new you. That person over there on that banner. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, those he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God called you into his kingdom, it sure wasn't the devil, amen? He tried to keep us out. God called us. He also predestined. That means he predecided that in Christ you would be justified. Justified means to be made holy, to be declared righteous. We don't have to get the big head about that. We just rejoice that Jesus did it because we couldn't do it for ourselves. He didn't call us to walk it out ourselves. He already did it for us, and we walk in his victory. If God is for us, who can be against us? I think about that in insurance policies. Everything's an act of God that's destructive. Did you ever notice that? You know, you need to read the fine print. Oh, we don't provide hurricane insurance because we don't cover acts of God. Or a tornado. Everything that comes to kill, steal, and destroy. John 10:10. Don't argue with me about it. If you have an issue with it, talk to Jesus. He said it. The thief comes but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I am come that you have life and that you have it more abundantly. Abundant is really good, but more is better. And I'm all for better. I know what the other side of that coin is. And it wasn't better. Better is now. Better is the life that he gave us now. And it's going to keep getting gooder and it's going to keep getting better. Oh yeah, there'll be some tough times along the way. We'd have to have our eyes closed to a lot of the word that's yet to be come to pass, not only in our lifetime, but long after, because the word of God will last forever. But he's equipped us. What's more than a conqueror? If I said just conqueror, could you use maybe the word overcome, an overcomer? But if you're more than that, that means it changes our attitudes. It changes the way we think about life. It changes the way we look at life now because it's a new life. I like not having any tattoo that says born to lose with a skull and crossbone. You know someone like that, don't you? Yes, sirree, I'm not kidding. When I was in the military, that was one of the first tattoos some of my Air Force friends had to go get down in San Antone. First they let you loose, then you go get a tattoo, and they'd all come back boasting of a skull and crossbones. Born to lose. What an attitude to serve in the military. They teach us how to kill, but you're born to lose. Wow, isn't that a twist? Well, those are awfully hard to get out of your skin. But I like to use the phrase born again to win. And if I were to get a tattoo, I don't have any, but if I did, I don't need any because I'm marked with Christ already. That's my tattoo. I've been marked, so have you. When the harvesting angels come, read it. Jesus told the angels to stay away from those that are marked with the mark of God, the seal. Go after the ones that don't. See, the righteous are the ones that get spared in all of that. It's the wicked that get gathered up and burned and destroyed. We're on the winning side. I never felt like in life that in the beginning, I never felt like I was on the winning side. Oh, and you know, that reminds me of another scripture. Did you ever do anything as a kid to try to be accepted in a group of people that you could fit in with? Peer pressure? Do you know the Bible says we've been accepted in the beloved? Is that cool or what? I mean, a lot of people like to join clubs. They like to join groups. They like to join things to be a part of something. There's nothing wrong with that, except some of them. When you know the roots of it, you wouldn't want to be a part of it. But to be accepted in the beloved, who are the beloveds? The ones that God calls beloved. Beloveds. We're his beloveds. And we've been accepted by God in the beloveds. That's the new you. That's one of those things that pertain to godliness. See, we didn't have that before. The opportunity was there, but until we chose it and took advantage of it, forget not all his benefits. More than a conqueror. Oh, here's another goodie. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. I'll actually turn and read it. I have it printed on my notes, but there's just nothing like turning it right over in your favorite Bible that you have, and so that we can read it together. And I'm so glad that you bring your swords with you. That really ticks the devil off. You don't mind people that go to church and leave their Bibles at home. God forbid you'd ever bring one in. Wow. Rick, you better cool it. Just things I observe. I observe a lot of things. Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The law worked a curse. You couldn't be saved under the law. You could not be saved under the old covenant. It wasn't Jesus' time yet to come. The law was it pointed us as a schoolmaster to the law. You can read in Galatians a little bit further down the purpose of the law, and it talks about that. But to know that I've been redeemed from the curse of the law, that I couldn't be saved. I think of curses like sickness and disease that the enemy brings against us. I think of people who live under generational curses that got passed down through their families over the years, and how now in Christ, if there were any in my family, they're all broken. Because when I got saved, that stops all those curses from being passed to my children or grandchildren or all the way down, whoever comes after me in my family. And that's happened for you as well. I don't have to smoke until I'm half dead just because my father did. My kids don't have to smoke dope because I did. My kids don't have to drop acid because I did. My kids don't have to do coke because I did. My kids don't have to do any of that. That curse is broken off my life when I came to Christ. These are all wonderful things that happened the day we got saved. That's when Peter was so right under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that he has, past has given us all things that pertain to godliness, to life and godliness. And I have a long list. We could be here a long time, not today, but, you know, we could be. But I like to just remind us together, just to get started, to get you starting to think more about that little baby that was born in the manger and the purpose that God sent him. And you know, he's not a little baby in the manger anymore. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And did you know that you have been raised up together in heavenly places, seated at the right hand of the Father, far above all principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. You're seated together with Christ in heavenly places. If you were just a dirty old sinner, why do you think you would be given the opportunity to sit at the right hand of Holy Father God with Jesus in heavenly places? See, that stuff's got to go. This is the new you. I just get so much happier when I talk about words of life, don't you? I mean, where else can we come and be reminded of these truths and be encouraged to grow in them? That's the other thing. You know, it's not our nature anymore. We have a new nature. And that's the godly nature. Because we're made in the image of Christ. The new man is the image of Christ. Let me see. I think I can come up with one or two more. Then again, I could wait. No, I'm going to wait on that one. Tune in next week after these commercials. We'll be right back. No, I'm going to save that one. And I'll do one more. Here. We alluded to it, but I like to read it. Ephesians 1:7 says, "In him we have redemption through his blood." Redemption. If I asked you simply, what does that word redemption mean to you, to be redeemed? Redemption is the act of being redeemed. But what does that mean?
Cleansed.
Cleansed?
Cleansed by the blood of the Lamb.
What else?
Bought back,
purchased, came with a great price. You cost God a lot of money. No, you didn't cost him a penny. You cost him his life. We all did. But you see, that was the price he was willing to pay. So today, later on, make it a point to realize your worth and your value to your Heavenly Father. Not in a, you know, not in a wrong way, but with appreciation. And just knowing what he's done for you. If you were the only person, he would have paid the same price. Your life is worth so much. Wait till I get into the scriptures where to rule and reign as kings and priests. Remember in Psalm 103 it says he's crowned us with loving kindness and tender mercies. And to me a crown represents royalty. You've been made royalty by the king himself. And you get to share in his kingdom and all that's in his kingdom. He's made available to you and I, to all the beloveds that he's accepted us. So when I think of Peter and the fact that God has given us all things that pertain to godliness, I really think about stuff like this, and I've been meditating on these things for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks until finally I got them all put together so that we can just go through them a little at a time. Because my Bible tells me, I think somewhere I've read that when we come together, we're to encourage each other, we're to build each other up in our most holy faith. We're supposed to do stuff like that. So I always set out to do that, whether it's a long time or a short time. But when we come together, that's the time to encourage each other and to put each other in remembrance of these things. I saw Jesus say, "Again, I say unto you, Lots of times he said that. And Paul said, again, I put you in remembrance of. Because these are basic and they're old things. And we're always looking for new things. But it's good to come back to what really happened that started our walk. Each one of you have a testimony. I think it would be really cool. We should, this is another thought. Come prepared one day to share how you got saved. And you'd be amazed at the people you dare to sit with in this sanctuary. You have a testimony. It doesn't glorify the old man, it glorifies Jesus. It's beautiful what he's done. So I'll stop there for today. Knowing that we've been forgiven. You should see the man who couldn't forgive himself. You would never know this guy. He's so changed by the power of the word and the fact that he finally realized that there was not going to be a second Jesus to come and die just for him. He had to deal with the only one that there'll ever be. Anybody need prayer?